Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in today. If you know anything about my teachings, you know that I love to talk about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit has revolutionized my life. Primarily, the Holy Spirit gives us a personal relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit helps us to discover who we are. Your self-worth does not need to be determined by your net worth. In other words, what I'm saying is it isn't clothes or people or relationships or the job that you have or the car that you drive that determines who you are. It really is the Holy Spirit. I pray as you watch this program, you will discover your dignity in the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the live preaching. Changed. You know, that this within the gospel is this teaching about the Holy Spirit, teaching about eternity, teaching about the love of God. You know, it's all in there. It's power-packed. And this is what Jesus came to bring, good news. Now, I remember growing up in the Catholic Church. You know, I grew up in Massachusetts, and I went to this big, huge, anonymous, dark, echoey church. And as a young man, I did not get a whole lot out of church. You know, they may have been preaching good news, but I wasn't hearing it. It just didn't seem to be relevant for me, and it didn't seem to be meeting my needs. And like many others my age, in my teenage years, this is why I wrote a book called God's Not Boring for Teenagers. I felt like Mass was boring, therefore God must be boring, because I was just doing that a lot. Well, anyway, I fell away, and here's what I've discovered, that many people my age fell away also, right after confirmation. And there's people in their 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, as I said, fallen away Catholics, and not just Catholics, Protestants that were brought up Baptist, they've fallen away because the church isn't meeting their needs. Pentecostals doesn't seem to be working for them. Well, anyway, I've discovered that some, not all, of the fallen away Catholics, people my age especially, have gone to these very charismatic churches, non-denominational charismatic churches. For example, here in Houston, we have this Lakewood Church. You all know about Joel Osteen. He's my competition. And actually, we're all in it together. And, you know, if you've ever been to Lakewood Church, and I have been, because I like it. I like the worship, the music, thousands of people. The preaching is very encouraging, and it's very good. And that's what people want. They want good news. They want excitement. They want something good to exercise his wings. You know, instinct took over. He became natural, and he began to go higher and higher, and he got caught up into the jet stream. And then as he was flying, at first, as I said, he was really afraid, but as he began to fly, he came to this most gracious understanding and realization that he wasn't a chicken after all. He was a majestic, gracious, awesome eagle. And he soared unto the heights. You know, and that's what I like to tell people, that in case you're wondering, you're not a chicken. And you're certainly not a turkey. And you may grow up with buzzards and crows, but you're not one of them either. Actually, what you are is you're an eagle, and you just need to come to that realization. Now, oftentimes what happens is we grow up with all these people with negative attitudes and, you know, foul language, and they don't achieve their potential, and they never try to become all that they can be. And we kind of look at those people because we grow up with them, and we think to ourselves, well, you know, I'm kind of just, that's just the way it is. Well, that's not just the way it is. There's more. You have to look up. You have to be a person of wisdom. You have to come to a new discovery and a new self-understanding. You know, there's something about eagles that are just so beautiful. Eagles, for example, what is our national symbol? It's the bald eagle. You know, as I looked out and I was calling you all eagles, I just had to kind of say parenthetically, some of you are bald eagles. And, you know, the eagles, it was interesting, I was driving over, I noticed there's on your sign there on the highway, there's an Eagle Lake. I wonder how many people would go to if it was called Chicken Lake. Probably not a lot of people. But beside that, I remember as I was driving over here tonight, I kept switching stations, and there was a rock band on there that I used to listen to when I was younger. They had songs like Hotel California, Tequila Sunrise, Take It Easy. They're called the Eagles. I'm wondering how well they would have been if they were called, you know, the Crows. Probably not that. They probably wouldn't have achieved much. And then, you know, I noticed today as I was looking around, the post truck drove by, you know, and they were delivering mail. You know what they have on the side of the truck? It's not a chicken. It's an eagle. And you notice how the eagle looks. It's got this wind by its beak. Because you know what? Eagles get it done. And eagles make it happen. Eagles live with excellence. That's why we have it as our national symbol. Boy Scouts, of course, when they achieve one of the highest ranks, they call them an Eagle Scout. And I'm a golfer. And you know what they call a hole-in-one, another word for a hole-in-one? We call it an eagle. You know, we don't call it a chicken. We call it an eagle. And so I want to tell you as I begin here tonight that really you may not know who you are. You have to come to a whole new self-discovery. This is something that happened to me when I was touched and filled with the Holy Spirit. I always thought, for example, that I was, you know, good guy and kind of grew up. And, you know, you look around at the people that you grow up with and, you know, you try to find, this is something called identity. You try to find your identity in what you wear. That's what a lot of people do. You know, they buy fine clothes because, you know, they want to feel good about themselves. Many people, especially people my age, you know, the late baby boomers, they try to find their identity in education and, you know, the money that they have, the relationships that they have, the job that they have, you know, the car that they drive. No, I'm not lambasting cars and money and relationships and houses. They're all great things. They're all blessings from God. Just don't find your identity in them because really it's all crumbling. All those things are fading and they're all going to pass away. But there's one thing that endures and one reality that endures, and that's God. See, a lot of people are going through what's called an identity crisis, especially as they grow older, because they're finding out that the things that they were relying on to give them self-worth and value are all empty, and they're crumbling, and there's really no existence in it. And if you really want to find out who you really are, you can never know who you are until, get this, you can never really know who you are until you know whose you are. And what do I mean by that? Well, I came to a whole new self-understanding when I was anointed with God. And I use that word anointed. That's a word that means to be imbued with or infused with or endued with the Spirit of God. It's interesting. Paul the Apostle came to Ephesus. This is in the Acts of the Apostles. And he saw some believers there. And he asked them a question. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed in the Lord Jesus? And you know what they said? This is right from the Bible. These early believers in Jesus, they said, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And I have to tell you, as I travel and I meet people, believers, they don't even know that there's a Holy Spirit. Oh, they know there's a Holy Spirit, but they don't know who the Holy Spirit is. One of the reasons I believe that God called me to be a priest and anointed me with the Holy Spirit is because he wants all his people to know who the Holy Spirit is, and all people who are watching by TV. Because everybody, whether you believe or not, you already have the Holy Spirit. But there has to be a release. There has to be a filling. There has to be a new awareness of the Holy Spirit so that you can come to understand who you are. I wrote a book, the second book that I ever wrote. It's called Glorious Holy Spirit. And I say the word glorious because the Spirit of God is glorious. The ecstasy, the goosebumps, the chills, the wonderful pleasure of God. And this is what I was filled with when I was 19 years old. I never knew that God, you know, I believed that God existed, but I never knew God in a personal way until the Holy Spirit touched me. And now, as I said, I try to proclaim to all who the Holy Spirit is so you can have a personal relationship with. Well, the Holy Spirit has revolutionized my life and totally changed me. And the first place that the Spirit began changing me was my identity. As I said, you know, I wasn't really sure who I was. How do you know? How can you know who you are except by what people tell you who you are? or by the car you drive, or by the house that you have, or by the relationships that you have. In high school, I can tell you, you know, the relationships that you have form your identity. There are jocks, there are, you know, the druggies, there are the cheerleaders, the rock and rollers, you know, the kind of the lazy guys, you know, and they all kind of congregated together. Your identity was formed by the people that you hung out with. And I never knew that you could know who you truly are because of God. And I really want to impress this in you. So the book that I wrote, Glorious Holy Spirit, has a subtitle. And it says, Knowing Who You Are by Knowing Whose You Are. And you're not going to go through an identity crisis when you know the Holy Spirit. Because you have that awesome reality living within you, and you begin to change. And you begin to cling and to be attached to God in a way that you never have before. You're loved. And that unconditional love changes you and then revolutionizes your life. And you begin to change in all kinds of different ways. For example, a new peace came over me that I never knew before. I was talking about trust this weekend, as you know, and living in trust. I didn't know how to live in trust before that. It was just like, trust who? Trust what? Now it's like, I lean on the everlasting arms. And I hope in God, who is my strength. And I know that my Redeemer lives. If you were here this morning, I was talking about that. And this peace that, as Jesus said, remember we said, I leave you peace, my peace I give to you. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is peace, love, and joy. He said, I give you peace that the world can't give. And this is what everybody is searching for, this peace. They look for it in drugs and food and other addictions, shopping, gambling, you know, you name it. Because there's a God-sized hole in our hearts that we're all searching for. And our hearts, as St. Augustine said, our hearts are going to be restless until they rest in God. So that's one of the fruits that came to me, you know, beside the glory and the love that God showed me, and I came to understand who I really was, not a chicken, but an eagle. I'll talk more about that as I go on. But one of the fruits that I got was peace. Some of you watching this program right now are dying for peace. And I'm telling you how to have it. It's not through the things of this world. It's through a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit. And you've tuned into the right place. All you have to do is open up your heart and pray for that. You see, do you understand that the Spirit of God is calling out to you? You don't even have to call out to the Spirit. The Spirit cries out, the Bible says, Come to me. I live in you. I want you to get to know me. I will change your life. The things of this world aren't doing it. So you're looking for peace, and you can have peace. And the peace that the Lord gave me is something I never knew before. I heard about this sky cab. You know what a sky cab is at an airport? They're the ones that stand out there and they check the bags. You know, you give them a couple bucks and you don't have to go wait in line inside. Well, I heard, speaking of peace, I heard the story about the sky cab. And I mean, I guess he kind of handled the bags of this one man very roughly. And he was being, this guy was all over him. I mean, he's abusing him verbally, you know, rah, 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 yelling at him and abusing him. This guy just took it. And he stood there. He was so professional. He had such peace, the sky cab. Finally, the man goes away. An innocent bystander watched the whole thing. He goes up to the sky cab. He goes, How in the world did you do that? That guy was railing at you, abusing you verbally. He was yelling at you and everything. You were so professional. You were so peaceful. How'd you do it? Sky cab kind of smiled and he said, Well, that's easy. That man is going to Miami. These bags, they're going to Milwaukee. So there's a peace. There's a peace that comes over you with the Holy Spirit. And I mean, it's the peace of knowing that you're loved, and the peace that you're knowing that you're on the way to heaven, and a peace that you know that God is with you no matter what you go through in life, and even when the storms come, instead of running and flapping like a chicken, you can make the storms bring you higher. And that's exactly what happens. So now Jesus, here he is in the synagogue. He's at his hometown. He's in Nazareth, and he gets up, he unrolls the scroll, and what is the first thing he said? He gets the prophet Isaiah. He said, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. You know what? And I bet you he was preaching a sermon, just like what I'm preaching to you here tonight, about how you're longing for peace and you're longing for a personal relationship with God, You're longing to know God in a personal way. It's the Spirit of the Lord. He's come upon me to proclaim good news. And that same Spirit is with you so that you can come to know who you are. You have to understand something about Jesus. He grew in wisdom. He didn't just come out of his mother's womb knowing he was the Messiah. He had to develop. He had to grow. He had to come to self-understanding. He had to come to a self-realization. And he finally came to understand as he was looking around the chicken coop, wait a minute, I'm different because God lives in me. And I'm not what everybody else is. I'm something different. And he came to the understanding that he was the Messiah. So he got up there and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Let's talk about the anointing for a minute. The anointing, it's another word for the Spirit. You're anointed with the Spirit. Think about oil oozing, you know, the oil of confirmation or the oil of ordination oozing over you. It's the oil of ease. I've been anointed. It's this endowment, this infusion, if you will, with the Spirit. See, you've been anointed too. It wasn't just the word Christ, Jesus Christ. Christ was not his last name. It's a Greek word that means the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. So we're called Christians. Why? Because we are the anointed ones. We too have been anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. I heard one author tell me one time, or I read about it, that the Spirit is, the anointing is, do you ever see Vicks Vapor Rub? When you're rubbed, you know, that it kind of gets into you. It's this oozing in. That's the Spirit. The Spirit lives within us and oozes through us. See, that's the anointing. And with the anointing, there's power. And it's not just power, it's the person of God. The peace of God, the love of God given to us. See, as magnificent as life is, God didn't stop there. God's like this masterpiece, you know, like Michelangelo, you know, doing this beautiful artwork, us. And he doesn't just create, he finishes it off with his breath, his ruah. That's the word in the Hebrew, his ruach, his breath. And that's his Spirit within us. The very, not just the power or a breath, but the person of God. I invite you to get that book on the Holy Spirit where I explain in explicit detail in over 200 pages who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit can do for you. And as I said, many people aren't even aware of the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. And I'm telling you, the Spirit has revolutionized my life and continues to revolutionize my life. The first way that it happened was identity, understanding who I am and the potential that's in me. Instead of saying I can't do it, now I can. That's just one thing. Second of all, the peace that comes to you and the love that is yours in Christ. And then there's so many other blessings that come to you from the anointing. So Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. He's been endued with power, anointed with strength. The Spirit has come upon him for a reason. And that's to, as he says, preach good news. Now, I want to tell you before I go on that you too are anointed. I have already said explicitly, this is something God taught me, that every person on the face of the earth has the Holy Spirit. They just don't know it. When we come to Christ, when we read the scriptures, when we pray, hopefully we get to know the Holy Spirit. And I go like this because the Spirit doesn't come down. The Spirit comes from within. Out of your heart, Jesus taught, rivers of living water will flow. Within you, please get this. All the spiritual masters teach this. Within you lives God. Not just out there somewhere. Within you, in your heart. In God we live and move and have our being. That's right from the Acts of the Apostles. That's what Paul was teaching the Greeks. In God we live and move and have our being. And God is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, that ecstasy that I was talking about, that pleasure that I was talking about. So you are anointed, first of all, to know God in a personal way, to come to know who you are, to have peace, to understand the love of God, and so many other blessings. And you are anointed, for example, to be parents, to be married. God has called you to this, most of you. And if God has called you, He's going to anoint you to do it. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. Some of you are now anointed to be widows, not through your own choosing. Well, I mean, if your husband has died or your wife has died, you are now anointed by the Holy Spirit to live this vocation. I've been anointed to become a priest. And it's a beautiful vocation. And we also recognize the single life as a vocation. Some people, through their own choice or sometimes through no choice of their own, never find a soulmate and they never get married. Well, that's a vocation too. As long as you don't live selfishly, you know, you live for other people as a single person. Married people ought to be living for each other, for their children, for the community. Priests the same way. We're anointed not to be selfish, but to be selfless and to reach out. So my point is, we're all anointed for whatever God has called you to do. And so Jesus stood up and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And it's the same with us. Don't just say, well, that was just for Jesus. You're a Christian. You're an anointed one also. And we have the Spirit. And I'm praying that, you know, this truth about a personal relationship with God, I am praying that for you. I want you not just to know God arbitrarily or off there somewhere, and yeah, I believe. I want you to have a depth intimacy with God. Now, there will be hard times and dry times, but overall, you know that God is there. And remember what I said on Sunday, there's a difference between faith and trust. Faith is believing in God, but trust is relying on God and believing that he's going to come through for you, that he's right there for you. So, you know, the anointing is so sweet, folks, and I want you to go in the anointing, live in the anointing, be a student in the anointing, be married in the anointing, be a priest in the anointing. Watch how the oil of ease will flow, and it's so wonderful, and a new peace and a new self-identity. Instead of, you know, having a low self-esteem or feelings of inadequacy, those feelings might be there, but you know that you're somebody different because God lives in you. So there's Jesus in the temple, and he proclaims to everybody that he was anointed to proclaim good news. Well, let's talk about that here for a minute. The good news. I think people everywhere, like peace, are searching for good news. I, like you, like to watch the evening news. I'll just flip through the channel changers and, you know, go to the evening news to see what's on, and then go to the local news to see what's on, because, you know, we want the news. But I find myself turning the news off quickly because there's a lot of negativity and a lot of bad news, and it's just not what I'm looking for. I want good news, and that's exactly what Jesus came to bring. That's what the word gospel means. The word gospel in the Greek literally means glad tidings, good news. And that's exactly what Jesus was anointed to bring. You have to understand, Jesus came to bring, somebody once said this, Jesus came to bring friendship, forgiveness, and forever. And somebody said, if you get a better offer, take it. And folks, there is no better offer. Friendship with God, forgiveness of our sins, and eternal life forever. And that's the best offer. That's what, as I said, people are searching for, this peace, this intimacy, whether or not to know God is true. What's going to happen when I die? I'll talk more about that as the night goes on, or not this night, but on Wednesday night. And people are searching for eternal life. They're searching for redemption. And they need to know it's the gospel. You see, the gospel has changed. You know, that this within the gospel is this teaching about the Holy Spirit, teaching about eternity, teaching about the love of God. You know, it's all in there. It's power-packed. And this is what Jesus came to bring, good news. Now, I remember growing up in the Catholic Church. You know, I grew up in Massachusetts, and I went to this big, huge, anonymous, dark, echoey church. And as a young man, I did not get a whole lot out of church. You know, they may have been preaching good news, but I wasn't hearing it. It just didn't seem to be relevant for me, and it didn't seem to be meeting my needs. And like many others my age, in my teenage years, this is why I wrote a book called God's Not Boring for Teenagers. I felt like Mass was boring, therefore God must be boring because I was just doing that a lot. Well, anyway, I fell away. And here's what I've discovered, that many people my age fell away also, right after confirmation. And there's people in their 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, as I said, fallen away Catholics. And not just Catholics, Protestants that were brought up Baptist, they've fallen away because the church isn't meeting their needs. Pentecostals doesn't seem to be working for them. Well, anyway, I've discovered that some, not all, of the fallen away Catholics, people my age especially, have gone to these very charismatic churches, non-denominational charismatic churches. For example, here in Houston, we have this Lakewood Church. You all know about Joel Osteen. He's my competition. And actually, we're all in it together. And, you know, if you've ever been to Lakewood Church, and I have been, because I like it. I like the worship, the music, thousands of people. The preaching is very encouraging, and it's very good. And that's what people want. They want good news. They want excitement. They want something good. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live with passion.